It's December 1st, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, how some NFTs are serving as a gateway for crypto adoption, the latest headlines, and more. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin traders were indecisive early Wednesday in the wake of Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's potentially transitory hawkish turn. And speaking of which, on Tuesday, Powell said it was time to retire the word transitory while describing inflation, and told lawmakers that it would be appropriate for the bank to consider faster unwinding of stimulus when top officials for the U.S. Central Bank meet next on December 14th and 15th. Quote, "A faster Fed taper and increased interest rate hike expectations was bad news for Bitcoin," Edward Moya, senior market analyst at foreign exchange broker Owanda, wrote in a market commentary. He continued, "Bitcoin is trading more like a risky asset than an inflation hedge," end quote. So, while the Fed may be behind the curve, financial markets appear far more behind in pricing the prospects of a hawkish move. Thus, the probability of Bitcoin meeting the widely predicted year-end target of $100,000 per token now looks lower. Recently, the $60,000 resistance level has been the key hurdle for buyers, despite oversold readings on the charts. So far, support levels remain intact, which means we could see a tight trading range between $55,000 and $60,000, at least over the short term. On the other hand, Ether, the second largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, ended Tuesday with its fourth straight day of gains, trading above $4,600 per ETH, according to CoinDesk's data. Quote, "Ethereum is still the favorite crypto bet for most traders and seems like we'll make another run towards $5,000 once risk appetite returns," Moya added. Ether's growing market dominance is also reflected on the Ether Bitcoin chart. The ETH BTC daily chart on crypto exchange Binance was up by more than 5.2% this morning, according to TradingView. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk's markets analysts, Muyao Shen, Amkar Godbole, and Dominic Nantes. Bitcoin is currently trading at $57,648. That's down almost 1 percentage point over the last 24 hours, while Ether is trading at $4,685 per ETH. That's up just a little bit over 1 percentage point in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, U.S. stock futures and oil prices rose, suggesting markets will claw back some losses sparked by worries over the Omicron variant and unwinding of Federal Reserve stimulus. The uncertainty has led to seesaw moves in global markets that extended into Wednesday. Futures for the S&P 500 rose 1.2%, signaling gains for the benchmark index. Meanwhile, tech stocks headed for a strong start on Wednesday's session, as futures for the NASDAQ 100 added 1.3%, and contracts for the blue-chip Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.8%. Overseas, markets gained. The Stoxx Europe 600 rose 1%, led higher by shares of travel, leisure, and basic resource companies, which would all be exposed to an economic downturn. In London, the FTSE 100 added 1.4%, while Germany's DAX and the French CAC 40 notched up by similar amounts. In Asian markets, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index rose by 0.8%, while Japan's TOPIX climbed nearly half a point. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from the Wall Street Journal and the FT. Stay tuned for After the Break. We'll be back with a few quick headlines we're tracking today, with links to the full articles in the show notes for this episode, as always. Then, after the headlines, we'll take a look at how NFTs aren't just JPEGs, but actually a gateway drug to crypto. We'll be right back.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Turning to big picture news, as we mentioned earlier, transitory has been the U.S. central banks, and notably current Treasury Secretary and former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, along with current Fed Chair Jerome Powell's preferred adjective for describing the nature of this year's run of high inflation. By April, the term had become enshrined in the statement issued at the end of each of the Fed's two-day policy meetings, and it has remained there since, although a number of Powell's colleagues have grown disdainful of its usage in recent months. Now, though, with inflation at the highest level in three decades and running at least twice the Fed's targeted rate for six straight months, even Powell says it's time to show that house guest the door. Quote, "I think the word transitory has different meanings to different people," Powell told the U.S. Senate Banking Committee on Tuesday when asked about his persistent use of the word. He continued, quote, "To many, it carries a sense of short-lived. We tended to use it to mean that it won't leave a permanent mark in the form of higher inflation. I think it's probably a good time to retire that word and try to explain more clearly what we mean," end quote. Reuters has the full story, but I'll editorialize for a moment to note once again that the U.S. Central Bank has painted themselves into a corner, so to speak, with no way to cleanly escape. The transitory term was very clearly intended to convey that people feeling the bite of higher prices didn't need to worry about inflation because it was transitory, which according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary has only two definitions, one of which is temporary, the other of which is not persistent. And yet inflation has not only persisted in even officially approved statistics, it has continued to increase. And so the Fed has had to find yet another way to pretend that they are in control and are not in fact at least partially responsible for the problem that they claim they want to address. It is doubtful that this will work, but they have no alternative but to try, and with a credulous media mostly on their side, they'll probably get away with it, at least in the public narrative. With that said, back to the headlines. South Korea's exports are on track to post an annual record, buoyed by year-end holiday demand and higher product prices, even as supply chain bottlenecks continue to pressure manufacturers. Exports rose by more than 32% in November from just a year earlier to $60.4 billion, a monthly record, data from the Trade Ministry showed on Wednesday. The ministry said that overseas shipments are on track to reach the highest annual value in the country's trade history. Korea's shipments to China last month were also the highest ever, while exports to other key markets posted double-digit gains. Sales of chips, that's the country's cash cow, jumped by 40%. Bloomberg has that report. And speaking of supply chain, supermarkets are altering their layouts and using decoys to fill gaps left by shortages. Product shortfalls caused by supply chain bottlenecks are pushing grocers to get creative so consumers aren't facing empty shelves. While chaos reigns in supply chains, grocery stores are trying to present an appealing and seemingly organized front for customers. To do so, some are turning to age-old tricks of the trade and developing new ones to cover up gaps in the shelves. That includes moving products to unlikely places in stores. You can check out the pictures in the link to the Wall Street Journal in the show notes. Turning to international news, Indonesia is considering developing a central bank digital currency, or CBDC, as one way to counter the use of cryptocurrency in the country. An assistant governor of the Bank of Indonesia said in the parliament that a digital version of their currency would address the effect crypto trading has on the financial system. Bloomberg reported on Tuesday, quote, "A CBDC would be one of the tools to fight crypto," they said. Continuing the quote, "We assume that people would find CBDC more reliable than crypto," end quote. CoinDesk Jamie Crowley has that report. Meanwhile, Huobi Group has picked Singapore as its regional headquarters. This follows the crypto exchange already having moved significant parts of its operation to the city-state. CoinDesk Eliza Gritzi has that one. Turning to industry news, U.S. Treasury Secretary and former Fed Chair Janet Yellen said stablecoins could lead to greater efficiencies and contribute to easier payments, but required proper regulation. Quote, "There are significant risks associated with them, including risks to payment systems and risks related to the concentration of economic power," she said. Yellen and Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell testified before a Senate Banking Committee on Tuesday. Yellen noted in its updated guidance that the Financial Action Task Force, or FATF, clarified that its intent was not to regulate as virtual asset providers people or providers that, quote, "provide only ancillary services or products to a virtual asset network, including hardware manufacturers, providers of unhosted wallets, software developers, or miners that are not otherwise engaged in covered activities," end quote. CoinDesk's Tanzil Akhtar reports. And in another brief editorial, I'll note that the Treasury Secretary's concerns are not without merit and are worth examining briefly. Stablecoins and cryptocurrencies broadly represent, quote, risks to payment systems and risks related to the concentration of economic power, end quote. Stablecoins are seen as risks because they are seen as competition, correctly so, as alternatives to the existing money systems. Stewards of that existing system, like the Treasury Secretary, are very much empowered by its primary role and have much to lose should they have to compete or even simply explain why their institutions should keep that primary role in a portion of the economy, money issuance and management of the money supply, which they have monopolized for more than 100 years to controversial results. This is a trend I believe we'll see grow over the next handful of years as stablecoins or other cryptocurrencies go from being a potential threat to an existential one in the battle for the future of money. The idea that their ongoing domination of the global financial system may be transitory, that is, not permanent, that's the real fear here. But back to the news. And regarding regulation, regulators are looking to develop a set of rules for crypto banks sooner than expected, according to a research note from Morgan Stanley published last week. This follows a joint statement from the Federal Reserve, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or the FDIC, and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, or the OCC, on November 23rd, that outlined a so-called policy sprint to develop rules for firms offering services in the crypto space. Quote, well-crafted regulation will help to promote the adoption of crypto assets and their related services, analysts said Morgan Stanley wrote. This is being seen as positive for banks such as Silvergate and Signature. CoinDesk's Will Canny has the story. And in lighter news, here's our associate producer, Adrian Blust.
This DAO, or Decentralized Autonomous Organization, bought Alejandro Jodorowsky's Dune Bible, but it doesn't own it yet. Quote, he who controls the spice controls the universe, but who controls the DAO? Here's a quick conundrum. Does the person paying the mortgage own the house, or is it really the property of the bank? Here's another one. Do viewers own the rights to the digital movies they purchase online? And finally, who owns filmmaker Alejandro Jodorowsky's Dune Bible? Is it the DAO that raised $750,000 to bid on it at Christie's auction house, or the DAO's co-founder, who used his own funds to purchase it separately and then spearheaded a fundraising drive for other contributors to buy it back from him? That's a curious question being raised this week by Spice DAO, or formerly Dune DAO, the latest decentralized community formed to purchase real-world items, just as Constitution DAO attempted for a copy of the U.S. Constitution and Crowhouse aims to do for an NBA team. Dune DAO was co-founded by Soban Saqib, who goes by Sobi, along with a friend to raise money and bid on storyboards for the planned but never filmed 1970s film adaptation of Frank Herbert's novel Dune. Though the $750,000 in Ethereum they raised via community funding site Juicebox was far more than Christie's estimated value of 25 to 35,000 euros, it was far below what was needed to win the auction last week. More than that, it was the wrong type of currency. The auction seller wasn't accepting Ethereum. Watching the drama unfold, Sobi put down his cash, over $3 million not including fees, to avoid the fate of the unsuccessful Constitution DAO. Ever since, he says he's been looking for a way to transfer the Dune Bible to the DAO, the idea being for it to effectively reimburse him. Decrypt has the story in the show notes.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Today's featured story is an opinion piece by Will Gotzigan, CoinDesk's media and culture reporter. The tech behind NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, hasn't changed all that much since the development of the ERC-721 standard. That's the coding framework on which popular crypto collectibles have been built. That's because until 2021, NFTs were mostly a niche curiosity for crypto enthusiasts. Even with the rise of CryptoKitties in 2017, NFTs didn't immediately conjure up any cultural or aesthetic reference points beyond the broader crypto ecosystem, despite becoming a media hangup. With the success of the Bored Ape Yacht Club, the collection of crude, cartoonish, monkey-themed images that's given birth to a rising media empire over the past year, those dynamics have started to shift. When the digital artist Meeple helped kick off the current mania around NFTs last winter, most of the popular NFTs on marketplaces like Nifty Gateway and SuperRare nodded to the standard crypto meme lexicon. Bitcoins, rocket ships, bulls, and Pepe the Frog. Things started to shift when CryptoPunk started popping up on physical billboards across America and at Christie's auction house. Now we're in what you might call the Bored Ape Yacht Club era of NFT history. The success of Bored Ape Yacht Club gave rise to the animal-themed 10K collections, so named for their limited supply of 10,000 procedurally generated images, which took the formula and ran with it. Lazy lions, cool cats, pudgy penguins, and the Doge Pound are some of the pricier projects in this vein. Visually, they're all strikingly similar. Portraits at a three-quarter angle from the shoulders up, They often double as headshot-style profile pictures on social media sites. Post Malone, Jimmy Fallon, Lil Bab, and Steph Curry are among today's most prominent ape owners, thanks to clever celebrity outreach programs from crypto platforms like MoonPay. This past weekend, the rapper Future picked up a Bored Ape, also through MoonPay, and was gifted a Doodle NFT by one of the collection's founders. He even dropped a tweet to go along with it, "Wag me," or "We're all going to make it," a common crypto rallying cry. For now, this is what NFTs are, culturally. Mainstream consumers with a peripheral knowledge of NFTs aren't thinking of fully as generative art experiments or Hick et Nunc's relatively diverse digital art collection, or even Mebits, the 3D NFT project from the creators of CryptoPunks that riffs on digital minimalism. Bored Apes, with their overwhelming aesthetic sameness and their all-important community aspect, are the blueprint, as they have been for the better part of this year. Of course, there are plenty of reasons to doubt whether Bored Ape Yacht Club will remain on top. The crypto market tends to move in cycles. If everything suddenly crashes, then new NFT paradigms may emerge. There's also the fact that Bored Ape-style NFTs are almost universally unappealing to look at. Lazy lions especially. Cool cats get a pass. I think they're kind of sweet. A Bored Ape spin-off collection called Mutant Ape Yacht Club takes those uncanny visuals to grotesque extremes. It's as if they're daring you to mock them, to question how anyone could spend so much on these images. That the Bored Ape Yacht Club has created real cultural impact beyond crypto is why it remains immensely successful, and it will always have a place in the canon for that reason. But there's no reason it needs to continue to dominate to the exclusion of everything else. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and you can send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com or leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. We'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.